Welcome to the Gautrain Talks podcast station, the place to be for all matters related to the Gautrain and how it came to be South Africa's first ever rapid rail link. In studio today, Whiskey Maboni, the Senior Manager for Spatial Development and Planning at the Gautrain Management Agency. He's a registered corporate member of the South African Planning Institute and a professional planner registered with the South African Council for Planners. Mr. Maboni has over 14 years' experience in human settlement planning, rail and urban spatial planning, development planning and land use integration, as well as project management. And he's currently involved in land use and spatial planning work on the Gautrain Rapid Rail Link, along with working on applications lodged in terms of the provisions of the Gauteng Transport Infrastructure Act. Mr. Maboni, welcome. Thank you. Let's start with just how you first came to be involved with the Gautrain project.
Okay, thank you very much. My involvement on the Gautrain started in 2006, when I was working for the company called Kutela Projects, who were subcontracted to do work on the Gautrain Rapid Rail Link. And at that time, I was asked to go and do work on the Gautrain, especially with regards to work that related to the Gauteng Transport Infrastructure Act, where I had to come and assist regarding the processing of land use change applications, waylif applications, development applications that affected the Gautrain Rapid Rail Link at that time. So when I came in, they were looking for a town planner. And at that time, I had just graduated from the University of the Witwatersrand with a degree in town and regional planning. And they wanted someone who understood a bit of transportation to come and bring in a flavor of the integration of transport and land use. So when they brought me on board, they wanted me to especially liaise also with metropolitan municipalities, for example, the city of Johannesburg, Ekurhuleni Metropolitan Municipality, city of Tshwane, on spatial planning matters. So there we had meetings, various meetings with the metropolitan municipalities to discuss how Gautrain can be integrated with other developments and land use changes that the cities were planning, especially because at that time development was booming, and then one had to come in from the Gautrain side to ensure that whatever the cities were planning was integrated with what the Gautrain as a project was planning.
Can you go back and recall what some of your initial impressions were getting involved in this project in the area that you were getting involved in?
Sure. My impressions were I was very impressed to be involved in the Gautrain, because, you know, I didn't imagine myself being involved in this project in the beginning, because I thought, you know, this was a grand project which needed involvement from very special people. And at that time, I didn't think I was one of those special people who would be involved in working on the Gautrain. And even some of my friends used to ask, how did you land at the Gautrain, you know, as a town planner? And sometime I would battle to answer that question, because I thought it was a blessing for me involved to be involved in the Gautrain. And I was really, really impressed. And, you know, when I reported to my parents at home in Limpopo, telling them that I was working on this project, and my father would proudly say, you know, my son is a railway engineer at the Gautrain. and I would always want to correct him to say, no, I'm not an engineer, I'm only a town planner. But because of the pride that he had together with my mother and siblings, For me to be involved in this project. So it was really a big, big, big blessing for one to be involved in this project.
But what was clear once you got involved in the project is just what an important element the town planning and spatial development planning aspect of this project was, perhaps.
Yes. Because when we were studying, you know, the professors would teach us, you know, you guys will be involved in sorting out the traffic, because, you know, the traffic congestion is one of the major challenges in cities. So you guys will go all out there and do work on sorting out the traffic congestion in our cities. Yeah, you know, I used to say, oh, well, you know, it's one of those lectures, you know, somehow not believing what the lecturers were teaching us. But you know, the first part, like you said, you know, showed me the first part of my involvement showed me that really spatial planning or urban planning or town and regional planning is very important in whatever projects that cities get involved in, be it transportation, housing, and so on and so forth. So I realized that spatial planning is very, very important, because somehow as a spatial planner, you tend to be a jack of all trades, you know, because you have got this engineering element and you've got this social element that you want to put together to ensure that the, you know, the socioeconomic development in cities takes place. With you as an urban planner taking the lead. And that really showed me that urban planning is very, very, very important when it comes to large-scale projects such as the Gautrain Rapid Rail Link project.
But surely, you know, largely because of the impact on the surrounding areas. I mean, that's obviously one of the key elements, I would imagine.
Yes. The impact around those areas. And the other thing really was the fact that South African cities are especially contorted with disparities that have been brought about by the spatial planning of the past regime, where segregation was actually an important element in planning of those days, to separate areas, especially based on race. And now with the Gautrain coming in, you're looking at that integration coming in to ensure that the spatially segregated settlements get to be connected in a way. And the developments that take place as well along the rail reserve and at stations, you can see the amount of development that has resulted from the presence of the Gautrain Rapid Rail Link between the three major cities of Tshwane, Ekurhuleni and Johannesburg, and the developments as well that are forming a corridor with developers having an interest in making sure that they invest next to or near the rail reserve and at the stations as well. And we have realized recently with the cities that the cities are actually realizing that there's actually a value that they can capture around the Gautrain stations, because at the moment the stations are there, but the value that has been brought about by the presence of the stations hasn't been really captured by the cities. And now the cities are realizing that they need to package that value so that they can actually put it out there as a value proposition for all the developers that need to develop near or around the Gautrain stations. Because now, for example, usually when developers advertise their new developments, they will tell you, you know, you will be located, 100 meters from the Gautrain station. You'll be located 10 meters, 20 meters. And that is actually a marketing element for developers, because now everyone wants to connect to the Gautrain to sort of like stay away from the traffic congestion that is eating up too much amount of time that people would have been productive. And now you have to, for example, these days you need to spend on an average in an hour and 30 minutes just to travel in a space of about 25 kilometers. And that didn't used to be like that. But these days, because of the congestion that the Gautrain is taking away and the amount of carbon emissions that vehicles emit, and now taking all those drivers and passengers off the road and onto the rail network is actually a good thing that everyone is looking forward to. And whenever you tell them you are going to be 100 meters, you are going to be 20 meters from the Gautrain, and now they start wanting to buy properties in those areas.
Let's return to the Gauteng Transport Infrastructure Act, and you touched on some of the key elements earlier, but let's revisit that. And can you explain to us what those key elements in the Act are and why it is important for the Gautrain Management Agency?
The key elements of the Gauteng Transport Infrastructure Act are especially around the issue of route determination. So in other words, before you can build your rail system, you need to first determine the route. In other words, you have to delineate a space. Usually we are looking at a corridor of 200 meters, so 100 meters. Probably on either side of the center line of the rail reserve where you want to develop the rail. So the first part is really on route determination. The second part is on the preliminary design, which takes you to the details of your design, actually looking at the vertical and horizontal alignment. So the details of those you will find in the preliminary design process. And it also gives you the powers to be able to expropriate land. It gives you powers to also be able to proclaim land. But then those powers are given to the MEC for roads and transport in the Gauteng Transport from the provincial government. So the Act is actually a good legislative tool through which the province can be able to delineate the rail reserve and can be able to expropriate land where that has to happen. They can be able to proclaim pieces of land where that has to happen, the advertising and so on and so forth that comes with the Act. So it is very important for the Gautrain Management Agency because it is a legislative tool that protects the Gautrain Management Agency, of course, through the province, because we act on behalf of the provincial government and in particular the Gauteng Department of Roads and Transport, to be able to do, to be able to plan, to be able to design, to be able to construct, and to be able to maintain the railway line. So it is very, very important for the Gautrain Management Agency to have an act such as the Gauteng Transport Infrastructure Act. And of course, if you take a step back, you'll realize that in the Gauteng province, there was no legislation through which the province could be able to develop the Gautrain system, because then you would have the advertising on roads and Ribbon Development Act of 1940, which dealt a lot with the roads part of it, not the rail part of it. And for you to have the rail element in legislation, you had to somehow come up with the Gauteng Transport Infrastructure Act so that you don't come across legal battles when you want to build the system.
We are still with Whiskey Maboni, the Senior Manager for Spatial Development and Planning at the Gautrain Management Agency. He's been detailing what the Gauteng Transport Infrastructure Act entails and its impact on the Gautrain project. Mr. Maboni, we ended off the last segment looking at some of the key elements in the GTIA, but there was obviously an applications process that came off that as well.
Yes, yes.
Can you just take us through that applications process during the development phase?
During the development phase, you know, I'd like to start during the years of 2006 when I joined the provincial support team. So this was a team that was put together to manage on behalf of the province the Gautrain project. At that time, one would come across instances where we had to process applications from developers, from applicants. Of course, there were various of these applications. For example, you would come across applications for consolidation of land, applications for subdivision of land, applications for consent uses, applications for development. And some of the applications were, of course, made in particular in terms of the provisions of the Gauteng Transport Infrastructure Act. And the section there during the development phase that used to feature a lot was the one that relates to route determination during those days, was the one that relates to preliminary design during those days. So you would imagine that because there was a 200-meter corridor delineated for the rail reserve, And when the process came to a stage where the route had to be determined, where you do the detailed design and so on and so forth from the engineers, you would imagine that, for instance, the reserve would change. It would move, of course, due to environmental sensitive areas, due to difficult landowners, for example, that didn't want to move, and some asked for an arm and a leg as compensation, and then we had to move the reserve from one area to the next. And at that time, you would find that there were applications that came in, and the challenge was that you needed to comment on an application knowing that tomorrow the reserve could change from where it is. So when you tell an applicant that the application is affected, you're actually impacting on their development potential. And if tomorrow you come back and say, no, but, you know, the reserve has moved, you are no longer impacted. So those were some of the challenges that one came across during those days. But the process was such that we managed it via the Gauteng Department of Roads and Transport, because they are the custodian of this process, in even in terms of the Gauteng Transport Infrastructure Act. And the GMA was given a delegation of authority to deal with these applications on behalf of the MEC for Roads and Transport in Gauteng. So the process was such that the Gauteng Department of Roads and Transport would receive an application from the municipalities for comment. Usually they would be given 60 days. And then, because of not having the capacity and the technical expertise in the department, that's why I said the provincial support team was established, where this application would be, where these applications would be dealt with. So in that team of the PST, you would have experts in town planning, you would have experts in legal aspects, you would have experts in geotech engineering, civil engineering, traffic engineering, and so on and so forth. So that when these applications come, the MEC is empowered to comment on those from a technical point of view. And then from that time, we would process these applications at the PST, the Provincial Support Team, and then give these comments to the MEC via, you know, those that works under the MEC at the department. So we would prepare the conditions of approval, send them back to the department, and the department would officially comment directly to the local authority or directly to the applicant, because the Act actually says that whoever impacts on the road or rail reserve must actually liaise with the MEC before they do anything so that they can get an approval from the MEC of Roads and Transport. So that process ran like that. And then at that time, we also interacted with the concessionaire, the Bombela Concession Company, so that we can get their buy-in on those conditions, because they would affect the operations. If something happens based on an application that we have approved, it would affect the operations. That's why then we needed to engage with the concessionaire so that they can also have their say. But we had challenges with the concessionaire in the process because sometimes they were of the view that they didn't have to assist the MEC in providing those conditions. And then the PSG and the Gautrain Management Agency was of the view that the concessionaire actually had to assist the MEC. As per the concession agreement that was signed in 2006, it was agreed that there were duties and functions that the concessionaire had to emit or provide on behalf of the MEC. And in that agreement, there were areas in which there was no consensus between the Gautrain Management Agency and the concession. And that's why there was a dispute. And one of the disputes was on the Gauteng Transport Infrastructure Act applications, the processing of those as to who actually has to assist the MEC. And then we realized at that time that we didn't have to let the situation to be without control. That's why we then took over as the PST to process the applications, but then informing the concessionaire that we request their comments. And then as time went, they started to also provide comments to us, but not on an official basis, until we got to a point where we settled the dispute. And then there was an Annex B that was signed between the province and the concessionaire on how to process the GTA applications.
Are we moving now into the operations phase? Because that was my next question. Is the Gauteng Transport Infrastructure Act still applicable during the operations phase? So we've moved from development into operations phase, am I right? As it relates to the concessionaire.
Yes. It is still relevant, and it is still operational, and it is still necessary, because you'll realize that in future there will be extensions of the Gautrain Rapid Rail network, and you'd need legislation in place. And we especially also need the GTIA, because there are still developments that take place, especially in the tunnel areas where developers come and want to develop on top of the tunnel. Of course, there were conditions when we expropriated the rights, although the land was not expropriated, but the rights in the land were expropriated and through the MEC of Roads and Transport, of course. And then that limits the landowner from doing whatever they want on the land. So now those applications are continuing to come in, and you need to use the Gauteng Transport Infrastructure Provision, to deal with those applications. And those would come through to us as the GMA, because now we've got the delegated authority from the MEC to process these applications directly. So when those applications come, most of them come through Section 46, one of the Gauteng Transport Infrastructure Act. And that section and the other provisions, of course, are still necessary, even in the operations phase, so to protect the rail reserve and the land that that was expropriated and delineated for rail reserve purposes.
Besides the challenge and the dispute with the concessionaire, were there any other challenges that you can think of or detail in terms of the application of the GTIA that you experienced?
Yes, there were, of course, because sometimes you would find that as you work with the Act, you realize that there are sections that need improvements. And those sections would empower one who is actually acting on behalf of the MEC to properly and efficiently process the applications. And of course, over and above the GTIA Act itself, there were challenges in the processing of the GTIA application, especially during the development phase, if I may, because of lack of technology use. For example, we used to process the applications manually, where, for example, I had to use hard copies or paper-based maps to locate where the applications are located, to calculate the distance from the natural ground level in other areas, for example, to where the tunnel is going to be. So because of that lack of technology in the way we process the application, the applications we sometimes took longer in responding to the applicants, because now we didn't have the technology and the systems in place to actually rapidly or quickly process the applications. And in the operations phase now, we are at a stage where we can say that those challenges we have overcome through, for example, our geographic information system tools. For example, where we actually can be able to rapidly locate where an application is, where, how deep the application site is from the crown of the tunnel or from the tracks. And through the use of GIS technology, we are now at a point where we can quickly process these applications and overcome the challenges that we used to have during the development phase. And now we are also in a process of rolling out completely a web-based system of processing GTIA applications. So that is a system where, for example, an applicant can at their leisure through the network log on to the system, apply online, and then someone at the GMA gets the application and the application gets processed. And that seamless process will now help us a lot in ensuring that we can actually also update the applicants on the other end about how far their applications are. So the system can be able to do those updates as and when required from the applicant's side.
Lastly, Mr. Maboni, what do you believe the other lessons you and the team learnt during your involvement in the Gautrain project as it relates specifically to the Gauteng Transport Infrastructure Act? What lessons did you take out of it that you can take forward? Because, like you said, it's still applicable in the operations phase.
Yes, the lessons that one can take out from the GTIA process is especially on stakeholder engagement, because the Act actually gives you the process through which you must go through in order to get the various stages of the development, planning, design, and so on and so forth of the rail system. So that public participation process that which is contained in the Act is very, very important, because you need it actually helps you to engage with the stakeholders from the early stages of the project. So when you engage with the stakeholders from the early stages, you don't run the risk of being obstructed, because now everyone is on board from the beginning. So that process is very, very, very important. And that, for me, it's one of the major lessons one needs to take forward from the process of or contained in the GTIA Act. The other lesson is that of imposing conditions of approval on development applications, because those conditions actually help you to protect the rail reserve, to protect the land within which the rail reserve is located. So those conditions of approval are very, very important. And the process through which those conditions of approval are developed, the process through which those conditions are developed is very important, because this is where you involve all the experts so that you don't run with the risk of commenting on a geotechnically complex project or application while you don't necessarily have the skills to do that. And you bringing on board those team members, that team of experts, is very, very important in developing your conditions. And of course, through this process, we have also developed processes and procedures that we have at the GMA. For example, we have got what we call the GTIA guide. So the GTIA guide is a document that you can give to anyone who might not necessarily have experience in processing the applications. And if you can give them the GTIA guide, they go through it. It takes them step by step. When the applications are on under the viaduct, when the applications are in dolomitic areas, that guide actually gives you the set of conditions that you might want to impose. But of course, with you thinking about which ones are applicable at that time, but it guides you step by step on what you need to do when you respond to GTIA applications and the set of conditions that you need to apply in certain areas of the rail reserve.
Mr. Maboni, thank you very much for your time and your input. We value your insight and the learnings from the Gautrain project. You've been listening to Whiskey Maboni, the Senior Manager for Spatial Development and Planning at the Gautrain Management Agency, discussing the Gauteng Transport Infrastructure Act and its impact on the Gautrain project. To listen to this and other interviews about the Gautrain, please tune in to our podcasts at Gautrain Talk Station. You can also access further material on our website, www.gautrain.com. .co.za, or follow us on Twitter.